Blog Talk Radio.
Me of the queens I fell in love with when I first saw culturally accurate depictions of my historical sheroes. I wish I could build monuments to you and enter cities through the arches of your 30-foot legs. I would chisel your face on the inside of my temple and worship at the altar of your bottom lip. I would leave offerings on the tip of your tongue and bow my head in prayer before you. Excuse me, did I say that? Or is that all I said? I meant to say that I would skywrite your name in graffiti across the Milky Way like a b-boy god in love, but that's really not my style. And complimenting your eyes or your smile seems so insignificant when you are so magically magnificent and deserve so much more than I. When all I can do is try to muster up the audacity to approach you like a schoolboy fan about to solicit an autograph from his favorite female movie star.
You remind me of this precious star.
Appearing close enough to touch and yet further away than I could probably imagine, and still shining bright enough to light a room. A star that wise men would follow, and like a star, I feel that my destiny is somehow wrapped up in you, but I can't prove it. My queen, I am burning with desire. Would you not dip your fingers up yourself and cool but my tongue and bear my young and listen to songs that I would much rather have sung by the heavenly host, because you are the most beautiful creature I have ever beheld and never held. My queen, could I trouble you for just a moment of your time, which is so valuable it eludes time and takes up no time in my space, because your place is wherever you wish it to be, and my only hope is that you somehow include me. Remember me? I cannot forget the times we met, because it was more than once, when all at once became once upon a time, when my fantasy stepped into my reality and did so innocently. My queen, at this point, I love you seems like the simple utterings of an idiot, but my feelings don't stutter. Heart flutters like butterflies who land on beautiful flowers like you, only to partake of sweet nectars.
You remind me of the special star.
Blessings, family. I'm Brother Ezekiel L, and I want to welcome you to the Ringing Song Network. We've been off all summer, so it's, you know, I'm a little rusty here. But, you know, when I originally talked to Sister Wanda, Dr. Wanda Alahart, that she wanted to do a show around love, and then she originally asked me what day would I pick for that day for love. So for the last 3 years, I've been privately celebrating this particular day myself, when the sun and Sirius rise together in anticipation of tomorrow, Sirius will rise before the sun. So it's like it's going to be like she's birthing Ra, and the ancient people of Kemet, they celebrate this time. Then what we're finding through some research, there's other folks that celebrate at this time also. You know, and their nations was created at that time. So what I did was try to put together some people that work for her and some people that work for me so that we could look at why creating things under the power of love would help foster bringing us back to our original state. And I see I'm going to have some problems with this show because Blog Talk has only gave me 30 minutes and they should have given me the 2 hours. So be patient with me because I'm going to have to do some work in the meantime. So what I'm going to do while I do this work, I'm going to bring in Sister Wanda, Dr. Wanda Alahart, and let her introduce our first guest. Are you there?
I'm here. Welcome, welcome. I'm so thankful that you all have taken the time to be with us this evening. I'm excited about the show that we're going to share with you. And hold on, and we're about to begin. Now, are we doing a sound check? Because I hear a beep.
No, we're good. If there was a problem, I would let you know. Because I got
all right.
So we,
okay. All right. Well, I wasn't certain if you were able to get the person that you said would be the first guest. So I don't know for certain who that is. Would you introduce him for me? I wasn't certain who you had come in. Are you there?
It's a little slow. I'm bringing in, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring in Dr. Abdullah Bay. He'll give you some background, and he'll tell you a little bit about his book. And his purpose for bringing him on the show is he can give you some of the Masonic information and evidence of why the Masons started America and France and Canada up under this particular star alignment. Dr. Bay, Abdullah Bay, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, peace.
Yes.
Welcome to the Ring of
peace,
Stone Network.
Brother. Yes, welcome. Thank you for having me. Good, good, good.
I would like to ask if anyone has background noise, if they would mute out. Oh, start. I think it is.
I can't mute. I'm in a Chinese restaurant. I can't mute out. I couldn't make it home in time. That was my daughter this evening. So I'm in a Chinese restaurant. This is the best I can do.
Okay, that's yours. All right, I understand.
If I go outside, you got the traffic, got cars, I go outside. So I can't do better than this. I can't do better than this.
Yes, well, welcome.
Well, yes, yes. Thank you for having me. Yusika, did you get my bio?
Sister Wanda has it.
I don't know what's ready.
Go ahead and do it because I don't think she's going to do it. So go ahead and do it.
It was very extensive, so I thought if we could give us just a brief bio.
Yeah, right, brief. I just sent that to him, and you can make that brief.
So if you could do that for us, please, and let us know what your subject is.
Yes, I'm Abdullah Iltile Mosi Bey. I've done extensive research in history, dealing with the diplomatic relations between the Moroccan Empire and the European powers between the 15th and 1800s. I have a book called Moors and Masonry, which I've worked on for 20 years of research and writing. I finally was able to publish that book and put it into circulation in December 2016. And I've, sold all over the world. Now, I have an upcoming book, which will be available next month. It's titled The Masonic Conference and Square and the Connection to Timekeeping and Measurement. I will be coming from chapter 5 of that book of tonight. Brother Yusika wanted me to give a brief overview of the July 4th, which is the Egyptian New Year. It's the helical rising of Sirius. So I'll be coming from that angle to tonight. I have a BA in sociology from Glasgow State College, now Rutgers Rowan University, and a master's degree in social work from Rutgers University Graduate School of Social Work. I've also published several newspapers, the Al Moroccan Star, Otaz Shabri Bey, the Moore's Water Roundtable, my own newspaper, which was a newsletter that I put out in 1995 and expanded to a newspaper format and now a website, Moore's Civil Letter. So I've been done a lot of extensive writing. I have two other books coming out this year on Masonic Eastern Star, the Eastern Star, which is Venus, and the Moon, and the ancient matriarchal matrifocal society, the ancient female deities and consciousness. So I've done extensive research in those areas. What I do is I actually place Masonry in its proper perspective, which is astronomy. A lot of our brothers and sisters are not clear as to what Masonry is. They're just simply looking at it from a surface level of just the brotherhood or sisterhood, but not going into depth studies of that. It's actually astronomy. And so that's what I do.
All right.
So,
all right.
Now, most people are not aware that July 4th is the Egyptian New Year. We've been indoctrinated into believing that July 4th is the celebration of the independence of what they call the United States. And the question is, why that date? Why the colors red, white, and blue? What's the calendar that we use? We've been indoctrinated into believing that this calendar is the Gregorian calendar. There's no such calendar. Prior to that, you know, they called it the Julian calendar. There's no such calendar. The Europeans have a habit and history of forging their names on our ancient culture, calendar, our holidays, and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, so I'll go into that. Now, the helical rising of Sirius is a very important astronomical phenomenon. Now, the cross, I'm going to tie the cross that's on churches all over the world to this. The cross is an iambometer. It's not an instrument. It's not a symbol of worship. The Europeans have suppressed the mathematical knowledge of the cross or the tau. The iambometer is placed within a shaft, and it has notches on it. And what it does is, when the Nile River floods, you want to measure the flood lines so that you can make annual predictions. So they were using the previous records. You predict whether it will be a flood, you know, too much water, and or not enough. So the soot that's at the bottom rises to the surface, and it's high in nutrients. It's a fertilizer, and it fertilizes the Nile Valley. Now, the loop, they call it that loop, they say the ankh, well, that loop represents regeneration, renewal life. So what that does is that the flooding of the Nile River brings the renewal of life for vegetation. So these have meanings in functional means in agriculture and astronomy. It's not some abstract, you know, that's the ankh, you know, the symbol of life. It is a symbol of life. Now, why? Why is the symbol of life? Once again, it brought life to the vegetation, to the Nile Valley. That's why it's a symbol of life, because the iambometer being a measurement instrument, and that was used to predict the annual flooding. So that iambometer was a very, what people call the cross today. So this is why that's why the ankh is referred to as the symbol of life, because it brought life. Without that vegetation, you had no life in the Nile Valley. That was the key. So Sirius played a huge role in the entire Nile Valley civilization. That is the building block, the essence, the focal point, Sirius. Now, it's called a Set. In Greek, it's Isis. So now you have that occurs. Now, the helical rising, helical means pertaining to the sun, where the sun and here Sirius are in 0 degrees of separation, of conjunction. And so so you have that rising now. There's a period of 70 days where Sirius is what's called in the dual, or behind the sun. It can't be seen. That is period in April and May of into June. So now Sirius can be seen and charted. Now there are cities, there are buildings, major buildings in Europe that are aligned to the helical rising of Sirius. The calendar that we use is the Egyptian calendar, which is a 360 Sirius is a 365 day cycle. What Gregory the 13th did in 1582. Gregory the 13th is 1582, because there is a quarter day lapse every year in the calendar. Gregory had to make adjustments, so he added 10 days to the calendar. So you have July, October 12th, October 4th, 1582. The next day was October 14th, 1582. There was no October 5th, October 6th, no October 6th of 1582. So he had jumped the calendar by 10 days for adjustment. They didn't develop a calendar. Now keep in mind, what is needed to make a calendar? You need an astronomical phenomenon that's predictable. That's predictable and measurable. Well, Sirius is predictable and measurable. Most people don't know what a calendar is. They think a calendar, what is the essence or focal point of a calendar? They think a calendar is just a piece of paper with 1, 2, 3, so we're going to mark your birthday here and so forth. No. A calendar marks, it's a timekeeping for agriculture. It's tied to agriculture. You have your Venusian calendar, Venus. You have you have Pallades, where Pallades is tied to that. You know, once you have your solar calendar, your lunar calendar. So there's an astronomical body that is predictable and measurable. So that's the basis of a calendar. Europeans did not make a calendar. For us to say that there's a Gregorian calendar and Julian calendar, it doesn't exist. It never was. They never made a calendar. They took an existing Egyptian calendar and based on adjusted the calculations. And that's what they do today. They didn't make a calendar. So we're looking at the colors, red, white, and blue, that's in the Star Spangled Banner. Now, most people, because of European social engineering, will say, well, that's the European colors. No. That's not European colors. The colors red, white, and blue are tied to Sirius the dog star as it flickers throughout the ages as red, white, and blue. Also, there are three sovereign crowns in Egypt. You have the Hedjet, H-E-D-J-E-T. That is the white crown of Upper Egypt. We have the Deseret, which is the red crown of Lower Egypt. Then you have the Kepera, which is the blue crown, red, white, and blue, the blue crown of Egypt. So that's called the war crown. So you have, that's your red, white, and blue. So these are, so the title white does not mean complexion. So when I say Ezekiel is a white man, has nothing to do with complexion, tone, skin tone, or pigmentation. The Europeans have used social engineering to steal our birthright. That's a title that ties to the white crown of us, a sovereign crown of Upper Egypt. So they took the white title, sovereign crown, and tied it to themselves. Now, black is a Moorish flag, a war flag of the high seas, the black flag. There's a rope spray called black flag. Now, why is there a rope spray? Rope spray kills. All right, why is there a rope spray called black flag? Where did it get the black flag from? That is the Moorish flag, which is a war flag, which is a war flag on the high seas. So when they classify Moors as black, what they're saying is Moors are prisoners of war. It's not an identity. They use social engineering as white, which ties to us as the sovereign crown of Upper Egypt. Black means a people who are prisoners of war. It's tied to the black flag of the Moorish black flag of the high seas. It's a war flag.
All right.
So this
All right.
is so they've used social engineering and created a false epistemology. Epistemology is a branch in philosophy that deals with how one knows knowledge. So they created a false epistemology, i.e., the false example of false epistemology, Julian calendar. That's a false epistemology. So now you focus. So they've stolen your calendar, forged their name on it, Julian calendar, Gregorian calendar, as they've done. So they've taken credit for that. So this is the key. Now you have the Anu Aketa called the Sphinx. It's the head, the body of a lion, and head of a man. That deals with every 2,152 years, the vernal equinox moves 30 degrees in retrogression. That ushers in a new age. When you have a new age, you have a huge shift in climate change. Now, over 2,000 years ago, Sirius rose when the sun was in Leo. Today, the Sirius rises when the sun is in Cancer. But 2,000 years ago, Sirius rose when the sun is in Leo. The Lion of Judah, the phrase Lion of Judah means sun in Leo. Lion, sun, all right, Leo. Judah means sun. That's the J-U coming from the Chaldean root I-U, which is sun. That's the Chaldean root I-U, that is sun in Leo. Now you have the lion's paw. The lion's paw, where the Europeans will place their paw over their heart. What that represents is, once again, 2,000 years ago, Leo, Sirius rose when the sun was in Leo. Now, the Sphinx, or the Anu Aketa, marks the two points of the summer and winter solstice. In Masonry, they call it the two pillars of Boaz and Jachin. Boaz marks the summer solstice sun, where the sun rises in the northeast. So they celebrate in Masonry St. John's Day on June 24th, which is actually the celebration of the summer solstice, where Sirius rose during that time, during the summer solstice, when the sun was in Leo. That's why you have those. That's why the Sphinx is a marker, marking, letting you know that those are the two points where the sun rules during the winter solstice and summer solstice. Those are marked markers. Now, in Masonry, they have what's called the point within the circle. The point within the circle, or the sunstone circles, i.e. Stonehenge is an example of it, where you have your point, you put your pole, and you tie a rope to the pole, and you formulate your circle. What you're doing, you're going to be charting the winter solstice and summer solstice sun. So these are key points when looking at Sirius and why the lion is prominent in a lot of coat of arms in Europe. See, they're maintaining the culture. Yes.
I was going to say, let me get you to pause just for a moment, because you're halfway through your allotted time. And
yes.
You could perhaps expound on that point, or if you have questions, once you're comfortable.
Absolutely.
All right.
You want to ask a question?
Yes, I was wanting you to explain the coat of iron of the lion.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. That the lion, and once again, the lion represents the age of Leo, and also the sun in the royal arc, in royal arc masonry, they have the Taurus, they have a bull in the in the banner, royal arc banner. They have a bull, a lion, a man, and an eagle representing the 4 points prior. So prior to Aries, the spring sun rising in Aries, it was Taurus, because we're looking at a retrogression. We're going backwards, so it's
all right.
Taurus. All right, so Taurus was the station. So prior to Cancer, it was Leo. So the Leo mark is where the summer solstice marker was. The summer solstice sun rose in the constellation of Leo over 2,000 years ago, and the summer solstice. To what they did, it's important to mark the summer solstice first because it's at its highest point. It's easy to mark it because that's the highest point of sun elevation. So it's easy to mark the summer solstice sun. So what they did was the Europeans have acknowledged and preserved the previous age and the previous point of the four seasons: Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. Today is what? Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. That's what it is today. But it has not always been that. So they're doing, the Royal Arc Masons are doing, is acknowledging and preserving the knowledge of the previous age.
Uh-huh.
That's key. So these are, see, a lot of our brothers, and even Europeans, I'm not even talking, a lot of Europeans do not know this. This, what I'm teaching tonight is not taught in the Masonic orders. Like the way I'm teaching it right now, it's not taught like this in Masonic orders.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it like this in Masonic orders. If someone who has it, they got it the way I got it. They got it through independent study. Studies, somebody may have dropped a book on them. They may have, cost one of my DVDs or something like that. But as far as they going to a meeting in a Masonic order and they'll get this type of lesson, no, it's not given like this. It's past the signs and allegories. They don't have lessons like this the way I'm giving tonight. Absolutely not.
And can you explain how you see this with your writing, with the book that you bought?
Yes. Yes, I had my book called The Masonic Compass and Square and The Connection to Timekeeping and Measurement, 5 chapters, about 200 pages. That'll be available next month. My website is moresandmasonry.org. They can get the book moresandmasonry.org, and they can get that book. It'll be available on that site next month. So I deal with what I do is show what they call symbols. They're not symbols, they're measurement tools and measurement markers, and I actually explain that. I go into detail, great detail. Absolutely.
And do you have any of your videos on YouTube or any other social media that?
Yeah, I have. You can go to YouTube my name, Abdullah Bey, or Moors and Masonry, and Abdullah Bey. Absolutely. People have put tired my whole youth. My first presentation was done at the King Solomon Grand Lodge at Washington, D.C. in July 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole video is on YouTube. Somebody put the whole video on there. It's called the Moorish Connection to Masonry.
All right.
And I'm speaking at the lodge. It was open to the public. And I really go into what Masonry from a historical perspective as well as a astronomical perspective. Most Masons, Eastern Stars, do not know what Masonry is. But I'm not even talking about the general public. I'm talking about most Masons, and Eastern Stars worldwide, that includes Europeans, do not know what Masonry is. They don't have that. This I'm talking Masonry right now. This is Masonry. And if I associate this, it's like, what are you talking about? They don't even associate what I'm talking about with Masonry.
Right.
You know, Blog Talk has screwed up my time. So if they knock us off, I'm gonna try to start it back up, okay? Because it looks
wow.
like they screwed up my time. They're supposed to give me the whole 2 hours. They're trying to give me 30 minutes. So I'm gonna try to work that out.
30.
Okay.
Wow. Well, let me let the sister take over because